Hello, welcome to the Succeed in A&P podcast, a podcast dedicated to you, the instructor. And we are here today, and I might have a voice you will recommend or you'll recognize from the very beginning days of Succeed in A&P. I have Jim Conley, the director of science, engineering, and math, here with me.
Valerie, thank you for having me here today, and I want to applaud you for coming up with this show idea for today. This is very, very timely.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And I didn't even introduce myself for those of you who are new on the A&P podcast. I am Valerie Kramer, and I am the marketing manager for anatomy and physiology here at McGraw-Hill. So we know that instructors right now, you all are having a little bit of stress with the challenge to move your course online, especially if you've never done online teaching before. So luckily, we do have some experts in the field who have done some online teaching for several years. But we wanted to go ahead and kick off a quick series of podcasts that would help you, because ultimately we are here to help you in this time of need.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to actually syndicate this show. It's going to go on the Succeed in A&P podcast, which you're listening to right now. We'll also push this on the Grow Microbiology podcast, which is a similar show that's geared towards teaching microbiology. And then this will also be a show that we're going to share on our Nuts About Nutrition, which is a nutrition teaching show. Really cool that way. But we got this article that we wanted to talk about. And I guess the elephant in the room, if you say that, right, Valerie,
Yes. Is
we know that a lot of you or your colleagues are going to be asked to put your course online super fast. So the number one thing that Valerie and I wanted to convey to everyone is we at McGraw-Hill are a resource for you. We have a team of people, a faculty network that is all designed to help you get started as fast as we possibly can. So, Valerie, do you want to talk a little bit about like some of the webinars and things like that that you have coming up in the next 2 weeks?
Yes, absolutely. We have some webinars about our new Connect virtual labs, which are lab simulations that pertain to biology, A&P, and microbiology. And this is one product that we have now added into all of our most recent edition textbooks. So if you are using Connect, it should be there under the Add Assignment tab. And if you're not, please let us know as soon as possible. We have a link where you can actually sign up for a free pilot. And we do have some webinars coming up that we will share more about the virtual labs as well as APR and some of our digital tools.
Yep, and we even have one podcast webinar that'll be coming up on Monday, March 16th. We'll get you some of the details to put that in the show notes for each of these three shows. But that's going to be an instructor that's a renowned expert in online teaching on Monday. So that's going to be something that'll be really cool. It's more of a generic type course deployment where I believe, I'll get the name of the instructor later, but it's going to be coming on Monday. More details in the show notes. But what we want to talk about today is not so much about the McGraw-Hill products, but just some ideas as to how you take your course that might be print-based or a hybrid-based course, and how do you push it online? It's a very stressful thing, but we came across an article that was suggested to Valerie and I and the rest of our team that's from Inside Higher Ed. It was given to us by the one and only Dr. Michael Cote, who's going to be on a couple other shows that Valerie's going to host about how do you get your A&P course online faster. But he sent us this article, and we're going to talk about that today as a primary goal. So here's the cool thing. You're going to hear about some McGraw-Hill products just because we want to make sure we educate you on them, but that's not the primary goal. The primary goal of this show is to talk about how do you take your course, whatever publisher you're using, and you move it online.
Yes.
Holy smokes, really difficult. So we'll link to this article that we're going to talk about, but we're going to kind of go through it all over here. But just understand that we are very committed to you as the instructor, your students. We want to make sure that during this stressful time, this is an easy transition for you, as easy as it can be. And probably the one thing that I took away from reading this article, Valerie, is when you do this, instructor that's listening, by the way, thank you for listening, it'll actually, when things settle a little bit, it'll help your face-to-face course. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that exactly means. So that's the big takeaway here. You're going to be asked to do something on your campus that's unprecedented. It's going to be stressful, scary, but we're here to help you. And then get this, you're going to be better off in the long run.
Absolutely.
Talk about a win-win.
Exactly. So first, Jim, we need to talk about really what the students are thinking. You know, they need to know what do they need to do? What are some of the basic needs that they have And what should we do starting at that point?
And that's what this article did a very nice job of, is it talked about the instructor needs and then the student needs. And I'm glad I was thinking about you guys primarily. And then Valerie, it seemed like she was gravitating toward the students. She kept reminding me as we were talking about this article about, Jim, remember, this is what the students are going through. So the first thing that the author, which it's actually Stephanie Moore and Charles Hodges, they were the authors of this particular article. And again, we're going to link this out in the show notes. But they talked about how the students are going to have to access their readings and their course materials, and they'll obviously have assignments that you're going to create through your system, whether it be your LMS, and LMSs means learning management system, so Blackboard, Canvas, D2L, or if you're using a homework platinum or platform that can actually be integrated within that, like our McGraw-Hill Connect, it basically can be put into your Blackboard or your LMS, whatever you're using, and then they're going to access all those things. But really the first thing that's going to happen is the student's going to have access. So that starts with you, the instructor. You can reach out to Valerie, myself, Tammy Hodge, Brittany Ross, Kelly Brown, all of our teammates. We'll put their contact info in the show notes as well. But we'll get you access to our system, get you trained a little bit. But this is going to be where your student's going to access a lot of these important things that they're going to have to access later. Now, Valerie, you picked up on something else, too, for the students, I think, that was very important.
Yes, I think really just they need to know what to do. They're coming back and they're kind of hearing a lot of stuff, and maybe they're not brokenhearted about an extra long spring break. But when they do come back, it is going to be important that they know what to do. So I think you mentioned the LMS, which is what would we do without those? That's a huge opportunity to put messaging, give your students some step-by-step on what you are going to do to take place of lecture and lab.
Yeah, and that's an important thing. So it starts with you, the instructor. You kind of have to figure out, and this is why it's scary, what exactly do you want to have in your course? And then, you know, a lot of times I know I talk to faculty, they'll have an assessment, whether it be a quiz, homework, or an exam. I think being very thoughtful about what you're giving your students, and then being very clear to Valerie's point here about this article, what are you expecting from them? And that's like item number one. And I guess that's probably the most basic thing that you can do throughout your overall deployment of what you're doing online, is if you follow those tenets and be very thoughtful, you'll have a successful experience and so will your students.
And even in face-to-face, no, giving expectations is half the battle, I think. So
that was one thing that the authors of this article did a great job about, is they said the bonus piece of this is the skills that you develop in deploying your online course will really shape and inform better your face-to-face class, which I thought was remarkable. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing, Valerie, that you and I were talking about earlier is we have a network at McGraw-Hill of faculty consultants. These are brilliant folks like Nahal Awadalla, you know, yep, a couple other ones.
Yes, Steve Sullivan, he's been on our podcast before, several others. And so in the next couple episodes, we will have some of those on the show to share how they did it 10 years ago and how they have improved along the way and the lessons that they've learned.
Exactly. We have people like Bill Hoover too, yes, who's another one that has taught a lot of different courses. And the great thing about the faculty network that we have is these folks will give you the good, the bad, and the ugly about how to get started, the merits of online teaching. And then Valerie too, just for the audience, we also have a bunch of articles that you have on your webpage that are all geared towards teaching our AMP course online.
Yes, exactly. And they can pertain really to other disciplines as well.
So one thing the author talks about in terms of meeting the needs of your students, one of the areas that could be a pitfall for you as a new instructor online is you might want to do too much. Mm. So I'm going to talk about one of my favorite tactics that a professor by the name of Richard Perkel, he's amazing. He actually does this. He has a Twitter hashtag. So you all know your students are in social media and they are primarily living there. And I know for you being an online instructor, you might want to go there as a point of being cool. You'll have to measure that a little bit, because sometimes those hashtags and things like that, social media wise, can get you off course. So I would probably say my recommendation is, right out of the gate, if you're brand new, maybe put that on your secondary goal, maybe for next term when you want to do it. But Richard Perkel, as an example, he's one of our faculty consultants. He has a really cool hashtag called Perkle and AMP, and his students absolutely love it. But it is a distraction sometimes when you're trying to get that social media network going on top of an LMS that might be new for you, on top of a homework platform that might be new. So I guess my advice would be maybe leave that off to the side.
Yeah, there's the KISS method, right? Keep it simple. Keep it simple. So especially with the last minute and having to do it quickly, keep it simple. Think about student communications. Don't do too much. Don't panic, right? That's another good tip.
Big thing.
And I think as far as organizing it, Jim, how would you start? You mentioned the readings online. How would you organize this class once they get it into the LMS? And what about recording lectures and replacing the lab and some of those challenges?
So that was one thing that the authors mentioned, and I'm glad you mentioned don't panic, because it's something that I wrote in my notes. Because to me right now, that's the feeling that I have as I'm looking around at the entire educational system is under a huge amount of stress. And emotion and panic can kind of get you off course a little bit. So that's great advice. But the readings in any course that you're going to deploy online are going to be really important, because that's going to be where the students are going to get most of their information. And I know this is already a flow that most of you are currently using anyway, where you're going to be assigning readings for students. So we have a product called SmartBook, or we have the Read Anywhere app, which is something that the students can have on their phone. You can assign pages, chapters, sections, but I think that's probably step one that you'll want to do, is really identify what readings you want them to have. And the good news for you as an instructor, you already have this. So whatever book you're using, you probably already have readings. Now it's just translating that into the online world. And the good news is most of the homework platforms out there will give you an easy way to do that.
Yes.
Of course, we're biased. We think ours is the best. And the reason for that is we're actually adaptive, so you can assign the readings and then have assessments nested in there without you really doing a whole lot of the work.
And I think participation points even with the reading. Usually students will do the reading. They'll be prepared for lecture, hopefully, and they'll talk about that specific topic. But what about discussion boards?
Excellent. So that's one thing the author recommended here, is that you should have a discussion board. Now, in most cases, what I've seen, Valerie, is a discussion board is where you're going to have that activity primarily live in your learning management system. So as an example, you're going to be in Blackboard, Canvas, D2L, Moodle, whatever you have at your particular institution, that's where you're going to have discussions.
Nice.
And those, I think, from my experience as an instructor, then also from my experience as a student, is they can take a lot of time. So I think you'll want to be very thoughtful about what kinds of questions you want to have your students go out there. And then going back to your comment about have a good rubric for what you expect from the students. So when I was taking online coursework, most of my instructors would say you have to start a discussion thread weekly. So every student needs to do that. And then you have a requirement to really answer two or three of your fellow students' discussion threads to try to get the discussion going and things like that. So being very clear about that, I think, is very important. But the discussion boards are usually a really fruitful area for the students to communicate. But you as an instructor, you have to pay attention to those, because a lot of times they may ask for clarification on the discussion board.
It might also be a place where you can keep track of participation points.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the most common area for online teaching anyway.
Okay, so we talked about the readings, discussion, participation, and what about recording lectures or proctoring exams once they get through the readings and the discussion and the actual lecture piece?
Really good point, Valerie. So at McGraw-Hill, we have a partnership with Tegrity. So we actually have a Tegrity lecture capture software that's nested within Connect. So that's an area where you can record your screen and anything you have lecture. The advantage that you have on the Connect side is you can search, for example, if I were doing a lecture on the sodium potassium pump, I could actually search for that, and then I could see all the slides where I actually reference that. So that's one way you could actually do the lecture recordings and the deployment that way. But there are a ton of other free tools out there. I use, and I think you do as well, Vimeo for some of the videos that I record. You could also use YouTube if you were, you know, prone to that. And then recording your actual content, you could use things like Screencast-O-Matic. You could also use QuickTime, different things like that.
Camtasia is another one.
Yeah, great tool. I know your colleague Matt Garcia is a big fan of Camtasia.
Yes, he is.
Did you ever buy a license, by the way?
I did. I love it.
Yeah.
It is the best way for us to be able to record our screens, and you can edit it right there in the platform. So it's good stuff.
Here's kind of a funny sidebar on this. I'm really cheap, so I didn't buy Camtasia, but probably should have. And I just use QuickTime myself, and then I've used Screencast-O-Matic before, which is another free resource. But whatever your flavor is, they're pretty easy to get into. I would say that Matt and Valerie probably have a really good idea with Camtasia. That seems to be the easier out of all of the platforms that I've seen out there. And I think most of your campuses will either have them already for you, mm-hmm. or you can get an educational discount if you need to purchase it. But I would say that for sure on the lecture deployment, that's going to be an important thing, and that's something that the author referenced in here. You could also use, I know Adobe Captivate was something they referenced.
Oh, yes.
Zoom. Here at McGraw-Hill, we use WebEx, which is another way that you can record things, whether it be phone conversations, and send those out. So I guess the real big piece of that is figure out what you want to record, and then be thoughtful about how your students are going to actually receive it, and then what are you going to expect from them. So that's one element there. And then you also mentioned proctoring, which is another important aspect where there are tons of tools out there. We actually have a partnership with Proctorio. So if you have any questions about that, just reach out to us. But there are plenty of awesome proctoring tools. That one works really well with our Connect system.
Tegrity even does some recording.
Exactly.
While they do the exam.
So I think those are things where you want to definitely reach out to your McGraw-Hill partners and ask them those questions, because we can certainly walk you through all the different options.
Yes. Okay, so readings, discussion boards, lecture capture, deploying those lectures, proctoring for exams. What are we missing, Jim?
I think the other things they mention on here is you could entertain the use of a video chat.
Ah, so in addition to the discussion board.
Discussion board, that's one way to get around it. Then one thing I was thinking about the other day is I heard of an instructor that was using Google Chat and Hangouts, I think was the product that they were using, for their students. I would say definitely my recommendation is be a little bit thoughtful about how you're doing that. And my recommendation would be, if you're doing this brand new, maybe start with a few smaller things to your point of keep it simple. Mm-hmm. Start very small. So, getting a video chat system, proctoring, smart book, all these other things, it can get pretty complicated fast. So I think, the video chat piece might be something that you put in your next course, potentially. But it's certainly an option, and students really enjoy that. So if you're really technology savvy and you want to do it, let it rip.
Yes. Okay, so labs.
Labs. Okay, so
anything else before we talk about that?
Yeah, actually, one thing that I think I picked up on this particular article that was really cool was making sure that you do kind of a summary for your students each week. And what I find fascinating about that tip is I never had an instructor do that. So I took roughly 3-4 years worth of coursework. And I know that that might be really difficult to do, but that would be a really cool thing to do a summary for the class, and there are a lot of ways you can do that, whether it be from our textbook, mm-hmm. some of the experiences you have for assessments and various items like that. But I think that that might be helpful to show students, here's where you were, and then where are you going to be going, moving forward.
Yeah, that kind of goes back to that student communication from the very beginning. Tell them what you expect, but then also tell them what you did. Kind of that old how you do a speech. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Tell them, and then tell them again.
Love that adage. Well, I'm going to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So this author talked about interactive learning.
Yes.
And I know we did say at the beginning of the show we weren't going to be an advertisement for McGraw-Hill, but we do have to call light to some of our products that do a great job for interactive learning. So if I'm an anatomy and physiology instructor, maybe give me the 3 or 4 things that are really brilliant from your platform that would be useful today if I'm going online.
Excellent. And yes, and keep in mind that because we want to help you, these are all available to you, no charge. We'll help you get up and running. So really with AMP, Anatomy and Physiology Revealed is our virtual dissection software that allows students to really interact. We have some amazing new animations that I think are so cool. It shows the attachment of the muscle. And then aside from APR, that can also be assignable, so you can really assess the students on what they've done. And then we also have our new Connect Virtual Labs, and that's, again, across all of our life sciences. And that really, really engages the student. We have found multiple uses for it as far as preparing for the in-person lab. So, again, this can go back to your point, Jim, of making the even better for the face-to-face. But in this instance, it can really replace that lab. It's very realistic. You can assess the students. There's a post-lab assessment. And then a third thing, if you're used to doing the anatomical models in your lab, we have the Practice Atlas, which allows the students to practice, interact with the models that are from 3B and Denoyer-Geppert. And it really just, I had one instructor reach out to me and she said, I'm taking pictures of all of my anatomical models and we're going to put them online. And I said, let me help you. We already have those. So hopefully that's a really great tool for human anatomy instructors and AMP.
Awesome. And then if you're a microbiology instructor, to just speak just quickly about that, we have the same virtual labs product, but it's going to be more flavored toward what you do in microbiology. We also have SmartBook. There are animations all over the place that we have that are really fantastic for not only presentation, but then also for students to use on a self-directed learning basis. And then on the nutrition side, we have some wonderful tools. My favorite is the Nutrition Calc Plus. So there you can get some specific dietary needs analysis that individual students can enter their own data. You know, some really cool assessments that
way. More than 30,000 foods from Esha on there. Super awesome.
So amazing. And then the last piece about that is we have cases. So in that particular course, cases are important. So one that I actually was learning about the other day is the paleo diet.
Oh, yes.
Did a really cool case about the paleo diet and some cool assessments where you really did a great job of teaching you, like, what that diet's all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. So interactive learning kind of is a given, but that's where your homework platforms, like we referenced Connect, that's where we're really going to shine because it's extra content that'll really help facilitate not only the delivery of your course content, but then your students consuming that, and they're really going to enjoy. It's a fun part of this new world of online teaching.
Yes.
And, of course, we're biased.
Right. And, well, and we know that student engagement is a challenge, even in the real lecture. When we talk about human anatomy and AMP, when you, as instructors, you stand up in front of the class and do the abduction of the supraspinatus, you know, that's, we now have an animation for that. So you may not be able to be in front of the students doing that, but this animation can help.
So a couple things that we're going to end the show with here fast is one sentence that Professor Hodges and Professor Moore talked about. And I think it's the key point here with all of this. Flexibility is going to be the key for you as an instructor to make sure you're not putting your students at a disadvantage because you're having to move online. So I know you're probably thinking, well, what about me, the instructor? I'm being put at a disadvantage. But your end customer, which is the student, they may be feeling a lot of stress. So I think you just got to take it slow. You got to make sure that you're flexible. And that's why we wanted to mention some of these interactive resources, because they will give you a lot of flexibility, but you'll have to kind of monitor them, be patient with your use of them, and potentially you might have to dial back using some of the elements of our system if it's getting away on you. So that would be my recommendation there, but to make sure that you maintain that flexibility.
Great.
Now, I think the last thing that we want to do here, Valerie, is on the last page of the article, the authors talked about preparing your own space, and I think they had some recommendations for equipment. So I think it'd be good for you and I to kind of talk through our ideas about what might be essential if you're starting out today.
Oh, yeah. Well, number one, obviously, computer. Yeah. With a camera. With a camera. Not all laptops or computers have that camera capability.
Well, and so one thing I want to talk about there is your camera is going to be really important. But then, for example, like on Connect, you can put your picture there. But remember, one of the best things that your students enjoy is you. They love hearing your voice. They love seeing your face.
They know you're the expert.
You're the expert. You're the calming influence in this world of chaos for them right now. And you're also the person that can really unlock those light bulb moments for them and can really ignite their passion for the course. So make sure you're using these resources to really put yourself front and center.
Yes.
Okay, so that's number one, Valerie. What's number two here?
Okay, well, on the point of the webcam, we all know we've been on web things before, and the background's been something a little crazy. So make sure you have just a clean backdrop. Maybe it's a bookshelf. Maybe it's a window of some sort. Something kind of plain. I think that's important.
Oh, yeah. Well, and one that I was going to laugh, I was going to tell a story about you just to give you a hard time, is headphones.
Oh, yes.
So we were in the airport, I think, a couple months ago, and there was a younger person who had a speakerphone. And you could hear, like, whoever was on the other line, they were shouting, annoying the heck out of Valerie. And then what was interesting is we were there, we had a big layover, and she was there for an hour, just nonstop on her phone. We
could hear
everything about her conversation. And then she came back.
And then she was on the plane doing it. So even better. But
so headphones can be your friend. It's just more like recommend them for your students, especially if they're consuming your content. You know, potentially if you have them, you know, if you're in a public space like a coffee shop, you know, just know that people don't always want to hear what you're doing.
Yes. And you often come across clearer, too, with a mouthpiece or a earpiece. My apologies.
You got it. And then what else would they want to get started with here?
I think, let's see, we said microphone, some headphones, a good computer with a webcam. Oh, internet.
I was going to say, that's got to be the most important one, right?
Right. Yes. Yes. Well, I guess, yes. Internet. We know that some of these students may even be calling in on their phones, for example, or coming into your classroom virtually on their phones because they don't maybe have a laptop. So we understand that there are some limitations there. But so make sure that they can hear you clearly, see you clearly, and have a good connection. I'm sure that'll be an excuse one of these times. I couldn't do my exam. I had no internet. But again, maybe that's something you communicate from the very beginning.
Yep.
Kind of the simple things that you need to clarify.
And to that point, I know a lot of the excuses that I use sometimes when I was a student was I couldn't get into my coursework. But remember, when you're using McGraw-Hill Connect, the uptime, we have 99% uptime, which is great. 99.9, sorry. That is important. And then we've also increased our server capacity to really brace for this, which is an important aspect. And then two, you don't always have to have an online connection to access some of our content. So Read Anywhere is an example. You can download chapters from your internet connection to your phone or your tablet and read them anytime.
Yes.
That's why we call it Read Anywhere.
Okay, Jim, so should we summarize this podcast since we talked about summarizing?
Yes, let's do it. I think we got to definitely, you know, practice what we preach here.
Yes, exactly. So communications, sharing expectations. Don't do too much. Don't panic. Keep organized. Make sure you have the organization from your readings, discussion boards, whatever you're doing with lecture capture and deploying those lectures. Proctoring if you need it. Adding that video chat into the discussion board if needed. And again, I think the really thing, be flexible, keep it simple, and know that there are resources to help you.
Absolutely. And to that point, just to add one more plug for your McGraw-Hill partners, when you look at your face-to-face course, my recommendation is take a step back and look at what you're doing in a face-to-face setting. A lot of what you do there is just a simple derivation of what you're going to do online. So we mentioned readings. Well, you have readings in your current face-to-face course right now. Now you just have to deliver those online. So your McGraw-Hill partners, whether it be Valerie, myself, we talked about Tammy Hodge, Brittany Ross, Kelly Brown, all of our friends here at McGraw-Hill, this team of people that are here to help you, we can help you translate what your face-to-face course is to the online world. And then, you know, we can do it, or we have a faculty network. So we're definitely here to help. We know this is stressful. And I also want to applaud Valerie. This is a great show in terms of having me on the show. That was fun.
Yes, thank you for being on the show again, Jim.
But I think your whole approach of how you're going to deliver shows next week to help people is going to be amazing. So I look forward to that. If you're listening to any of the shows, so Succeed in AP, Grow Microbiology, Nuts About Nutrition, we ask two things. If you like it, share it to your friends. If you want to see us cover something, especially right now during this stressful time, just send one of us an email. They'll be in the show notes. We'll get those show topics in there. We're really here to help you, but we want to get you through this transitional time of temporarily getting your course online. And we hope that when you do it, you have a lot of fun and that in the next term, you actually choose to do it.
Yes, absolutely. great opportunities for us to learn too. So thank you all for listening to Succeed in A&P or Nuts About Nutrition
or Grow Microbiology.
And please reach out if you have questions. Again, I'm Valerie with Succeed in A&P here on the Anatomy and Physiology team. And my email is my first name dot last name at mheducation.com, valerie.kramer@mheducation.com. And Jim Connolly is?
Be james.connelly@mheducation.com. And then we'll give you our cell phone numbers. I know it's kind of a stressful time. So if you need to reach me, I'm at 563-599-5359.
And I am 563-580-3828. All right, you all, good luck. And we'll look forward to working with you through this time.